A key part of running a business is being prepared and being resilient against anything from natural disasters to cyber attacks to any other kinds of surprises. We've just experienced a pretty big one in the last year and a half with the COVID-19 pandemic, but things are beginning to change out there, and it's helping us appreciate the existing systems we have in our community to help. That was the central talking point of today's edition of the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro's Critical Issues series. And joining me on the phone now is President and CEO of the Chamber, Aaron Nelson, to talk about this forum a little bit more. Aaron, as always, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. How are you?
I am wonderful, Brighton. It is wonderful to be on with you, and I'd love to hear a description of the weather. I might have said this is exactly why we choose to live here, right? Today is beautiful.
It is truly perfect. I don't know how long it'll last. I think we'll get back to the warm summer weather before too long. But yes, you're absolutely right. Absolutely crystal clear skies and perfect for that. So before we hop into exactly what was discussed in the forum today, Aaron, I did want to broach the topic of risk and resiliency when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic. How did this last year really test the businesses and business owners that the Chamber works with and owners that you have talked with? How was risk and resiliency tested by the pandemic itself?
Well, this is why we started with the weather, because the rest of this conversation is somewhat bad news. This is tough times and stressed our business community to the breaking point. Regrettably, we lost some tremendous long-term businesses in our community. By our estimates, 55-60 businesses permanently closed in the 14 months of the pandemic. And those are tragic and really difficult losses. The good news is that almost an equal amount, 40-45 businesses by our county, have started in that period of time. And the businesses that survived this feel really good about their likelihood of long-term success. This is a community that is very resilient. The university and the hospital pushing all of that payroll into our community, our local government and school system. You know, all of those people paid all of their employees, whether they were open or not. And that has really helped buoyed our economy. We are late in to crises like these, and we're first out. And things are we're hearing from the local business community are much better.
That is definitely encouraging to hear. Now, for today's forum, this is the latest edition of the Critical Issues series that the Chamber is putting on. You guys spoke with leaders in the energy realm, the cybersecurity realm, and local government, water services even. How did they define resiliency? Because I imagine that all of them, with the different hats they wear and roles they play in our region, they might have different perspectives on what being resilient means.
Well, I think both they and here at the Chamber probably have a similar agreement. How do we, when bad things happen, and they will, when the bad things happen, how well do we recover from them? How quickly can you bounce back? How long does it put you down? How quickly can you get up? Are we, you know, resilient in the face of crises? And today's conversation wasn't about, you know, if this happens. It's about when this happens. We have man-made and natural disasters that are going to happen in our community across those areas that you described, water, cyber, and energy. And we had all the experts there today talking about what they're doing to make our system and infrastructure more durable and to help our community, both residential and commercial, weather the storms, so to speak, and be emerge successful at the end.
Well, I definitely want to touch on all three of those because they're certainly interesting parts of the infrastructure in our region. But which one do you want to start with, either talking about? I think energy was the first one up, talking with.
Well, let's start with energy.
Yeah, Duke Energy and a leader with them speaking today. What were some of the topics that they discussed?
Well, we are very fortunate to have Duke Energy as our energy provider. They're one of the largest in the United States, which means they have substantial experience in other communities. We talked a little bit about the Texas crisis and what went wrong in the state of Texas that caused people to go without power in freezing temperatures for so long. That is unlikely to happen in the state of North Carolina for several reasons. And Duke talked about why in the regulatory environment in the Carolinas, and because they have resources in the Midwest and the Carolinas and Florida, that they have the ability to respond to crises. And unlike in Texas, we're a state where the price of electricity stays the same, even in crisis. So Duke has proven with all of their hurricane experience and other experiences that their ability to make sure that we recover quickly is excellent. And they're investing. What is really nice in Texas, there's no incentive to invest in resiliency and durability, and in the Carolinas there is. And Duke is spending a lot of time modernizing their grid to accomplish several things. One, to make sure electricity flows two ways. In the old model, it came from the plant and it went to our house. In the new model, when you're generating solar on your house, and Duke is very interested in growing the amount of solar panels, North Carolina's third in the United States for the amount of solar that is being produced. They're very interested in wind. They do a lot of wind in the Midwest. They're wanting to do more of that in North Carolina. But we've got to make sure that the energy flows both ways. We have to make sure that we have a smart grid that just like their speaker gives a great example, just like your phone or your Waze or Google Maps tells you how to go around a bottleneck or an accident, that we're developing a grid system that they see that the outage and they reroute electricity so that outages can be restored in a matter of minutes rather than having to send a truck to reconnect the lines. So we got good information about what Duke Energy is doing to make sure that the things that kind of happened in Texas don't happen, and to give us confidence that both they are modernizing our system to prevent it, and that in the event of natural disaster or a tree hits a pole or a car does or we have a hurricane, that their ability to get us up and running again is really strong.
We're speaking with President and CEO of the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro, Aaron Nelson, talking about their critical issues series that is going on all throughout this year. The most recent edition happened this morning on risk and resiliency. You can learn more by heading to carolinachamber.org. One part of that was about cybersecurity, and you guys had on some leaders from the Chatham County government, and people might go, well, what? Why is that? We have done some pretty extensive coverage on the cyber attack that happened that ultimately shut down a whole lot of their county online resources and communications over the last couple of months of 2020 and into 2021. I imagine that was also a pretty interesting discussion, hearing from somebody who directly experienced that kind of attack.
Well, it is a lesson to be learned for all of us. What happened in Chatham County, and folks may not have followed it closely, but just days before the election, in 200 days into COVID, ransomware. Their entire computer systems shut down. Their entire phone systems shut down. And you got to quickly figure out, how do you run an election? How do you make sure that people get paid? How does the 911 system work? He was telling stories of, 911 works, but they're handwriting on paper the location that they are going to dispatch people to. It took 77 days to get them back up and running. And he says just now, still 6 months later, only at 85-90%. Government returning to the function that it was beforehand. It's a cautionary tale. And his message from emergency management in Chatham County was, you are never too small to be a victim of a cyber attack, and that all of us, big companies and little companies, need to have a plan. What are you going to do when this happens to you? If we say in our mind, well, if this happens, again, what are we going to do when this happens to us? Are you prepared to run your business if you lost your data for a period of time? The other lesson learned was Chatham does not pay ransoms, and many don't. But even those that are finding that the encryption keys that they get take them 3 weeks to decrypt their data. So paying the ransomware, paying whoever is extorting you doesn't always make it go faster. You must be prepared as an organization to, on the very next day, continue to operate even if your systems have been compromised. And all of us need to do a better job planning. And this isn't just a thing that happens to other people. This is a thing that happens to us. And that was a great story. The Chatham told, Orange County had experienced one. Durham County has experienced one. Local businesses and manufacturers have experienced them. Every business needs to be getting prepared. And you, employees listening, might say to your employer, what are we doing to prepare for this and how can I help?
We talk a good bit with Chatham County, and so we were aware of those problems as well. And we talk a good bit as well with Owassa, who also spoke, talking about how resiliency when it comes to natural disasters and water handling is also important. What did you learn from Executive Director Todd Taylor today?
Well, the water crisis can be just debilitating to a community. Just like power, how might we run if we had no power for a week? How might we run the community if we had no water? Now, we're used to having limited water, right? We've had droughts before, and we're used to as a community getting a boil water order where you have to be careful with your water. But back in 2017, we had an order issued. It was called a do not use order. You could not flush toilets. You could not wash hands. We evacuated our hotels. We prepared to evacuate campus. What happens if your fire hydrants don't work anymore? What happens in a community when the water has pressure has fallen so much in your hospital that we contemplate evacuating the patients of our hospital? It would take a fleet of ambulances, and we would have to move patients to every hospital in the state of North Carolina and the state of Virginia if we needed to evacuate our hospital. We must have water for this town to run. So what he talked about is the lessons learned from the crisis in 2018 and the crisis in 2017. And that they're doing a better job of replacing lines. And we've created improved systems to make sure the hole in the ground in Carborough doesn't suck all of the water out of the water towers all across our community, which is what happened in 2018, like pulling the plug in a bathtub, all the water just going out one hole. Now we have ways to isolate and to stop the flow reversing and to keep our system pressurized and to keep water into our critical businesses like the hospital, but also into our homes and our retail and our restaurant establishments.
We're speaking with Greater Chapel Hill Carborough President and CEO Aaron Nelson about their critical issues series. They had their edition on risk and resilience earlier today. You can get more information on that one by heading to carolinachamber.org, as well as the upcoming editions of the series. And to finish things up here, Aaron, what is the next topic for the upcoming series, and what can people look forward to as we enter the summer part of this series?
Sure. Well, every month we have one of these, and we're halfway through. And if you missed today's, I'm really sorry that you did, but you're invited to join us next month. You can, as Brighton said, go to the website of the chamber, carolinachamber.org. Just Google Chapel Hill Chamber and you'll find us. And next month is going to be about workforce development, talent pipeline, helping employers connect with local workers, helping local workers. What do we need in order to train our citizens to improve their access to jobs? So workforce development will be the key focus next time. We got one coming up where we'll meet with our elected officials and people running for office. Really exciting topics on their way. And again, the whole community is invited. Go to the website and you can register and join us for these conversations. Brighton, I'm so glad you guys are a sponsor at WCHL. Everything you do for our community has really kept us informed and engaged. Thank also to our friends at Duke Energy and Durham Tech who help underwrite this series for us.
Well, of course, Aaron, and thank you guys for putting this on. It's a great way to connect those community members and get information like this out there. Once again, carolinachamber.org, the website to go to for more details on this critical issues series. And as always, Aaron Nelson, thank you so much for the time.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.